We got it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead and play that intro.
Hi. 1 second here. Here, I'm going to go dark, so just watch your Skype thing.
All right, and welcome. I guess we're on here. I tell you what, it's a little bit different here, not being able to hear some of the things. My name is Saul Mark Wassell, Presidente. Welcome to the debut of what we'd like to talk about is baseball, America's favorite pastime. What I want to tell you is welcome. It is good to be on board with you. And it feels weird not being able to have full control of everything, but it's all good. We're good, ready to rock and roll. Well, my name is Saul Mark Wassell, Presidente. It is time for the hot corner right here on the Balance Radio Network in Indiana Live. I mean Indiana Talks, and good to have you here on a Thursday evening, as we should say. Now, normally, we're going to be running here on this regular time as well, but on Blog Talk Radio, we're going to be running from 6 to 7, and then on Indiana Talks, we're going to be going from 9 to 10. So, you guys can join us. If you want to make a call to us, give us a call here. Area code 260-355-5151. We're going to talk some baseball. I tell you, it's been a great week for baseball, opening week in baseball. We're going to have got some great guests lined up for you from Calkins Media. Later on in the hour today, we're going to be talking to some Philadelphia Phillies. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media is going to call in and talk with us a little bit about the Philadelphia Phillies. And coming up here soon here at 9, Ben Jensen is going to talk with us about opening day down there at Victory Field in Indianapolis. In Indianapolis, and as well, going to break down the Cincinnati Reds, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Chicago Cubs, the L.A. Dodgers. I'll tell you what, if it has anything to do with baseball, we're going to talk about it here on the Hot Corner. And you know what? I had somebody ask me the other day, well, what is Hot Corner? Is that where you go and earn a little bit of extra money? Well, I'm going to tell you what, Hot Corner is third base, number one. I'd say next to being on home plate, that's probably the best place to be, is at third base. And that's why they call it the Hot Corner, which is exactly where we're at. I totally had a brain fart there. That's just how this goes here on a Thursday evening. We're still getting used to all the kinks, guys. We're doing a simulcast with Indiana Live and Blog Talk Radio and Balance Radio Network, so we're still getting used to all the kinks. But you know, there's a groovy that's coming out. What we're going to do is I'm going to play that trailer. The movie is 42. It's about the life of Jackie Robinson. We'll be right back on the other side of that to talk a little bit about that movie, and then we're going to be talking with Brian Jensen about the Indianapolis Indians game and some Cincinnati Reds. This is the Hot Corner. We'll be right back right here on Indiana Talks in the Balance Radio Network. All right, and welcome back to the Hot Corner. My name is Tom Mark Wazell, Presidente. We're live on Indiana Talks. So glad that you guys could join us. And we're standing by for Brian Jensen. Hey, that was the trailer for the brand new movie, 42, which is an up-and-coming movie. It's a biographical film about the life of baseball player Jackie Robinson, which we all know as far as being baseball fans, who Jackie Robinson was. And you know, I think that he broke a lot of ground, and I'm curious to see, you know, we look at some of the things that have happened in baseball, and baseball has been relatively, when you compare it to other sports anyway, baseball has been relatively unchanged as far as race. Now, granted, we have a lot of Hispanics, and there are a handful of blacks, but Jackie Robinson really laid the path to be part to open the door for blacks to be in baseball. We want to engage this in that conversation, guys. So certainly, if you want to jump in on the conversation here and talk with us a little bit, we want to hear your thoughts. Do you think that baseball has kind of closed its doors, maybe innately or unintentionally, to the black athlete? And do you think that the era in which Jackie Robinson played in is different than 2013? I'm interested to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 260-355-5151. I'd love with you about that movie. Joining us now, though, is Mr. Brian Jackson, who's live down at Victory, which is still scoreless in the bottom of the seventh. Opening day for the Tribe out there at Victory Field. Brian, how you doing, sir?
Not bad, my friend Tom. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm fantastic. Welcome to Hot Corner, debut of the Hot Corner tonight. Talk with us a little bit about what's going on down there at Victory Field. Obviously, opening night, a sign that spring is here. And as I understand it, that all Patriots and all of the fans that went to the game tonight get a free ticket. Talk with us a little bit about what's going on down there at the Vic in Indianapolis.
Well, the 60-degree guarantee, not tonight. We were at 50 degrees at first pitch. So the line down by the press box was enormous. All of the fans had lined up to grab their voucher for a free game that came up. It's one of the ways that you need to try to get everybody else to bring it. The crowd out here is pretty big tonight. It's one of the larger opening night crowds I've seen in some time. But it's been a pitcher's duel tonight, just back and forth. Indians had some problems in the top of the sixth, but left-handed pitcher got him out of it. Striking out the last two batters there in the top of the sixth, and then brought us into the seventh, where Pirates reliever Vic Black, he's a right-hander, he's down on a rehab assignment from Pittsburgh. It's picked up steam, picked up right where Andy left off, and we're still scoreless in the seventh.
Well, tell me a little bit about Andy Oliver. I know that, as you said, they were struggling a little bit there, and I had an opportunity to listen to that game here on the radio here in Indianapolis. And we're a national show, guys, and we certainly welcome you on iTunes Radio, TuneIn, and certainly all of our different affiliates across the United States through Indiana Talks, Blog Talk Radio, and the Balance Radio Network. But we're based here in Indianapolis, and one of the things that we're going to do here on the Hot Corner is we're going to spend a lot of time talking about what's going on down in the farm. And we happen to have a farm right here in our backyard, and that's where Brian's at right now at Victory Field, one of the nicest minor league ballparks in the nation, certainly the AAA affiliate for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And it's opening night down there at Victory Field. So we're talking a little bit about minor league baseball, AAA affiliate for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Tell us a little bit about Oliver and his position with the team this year.
Oliver's a left-hander. He's come up through the systems. He's been very well tonight. He looked pretty strong as he got started. He did not lose control at the beginning part of the game. I know people are usually worried, especially in the minors, as pitchers get started through opening out the first couple games of the season when it comes to control. They've been off for a week, basically coming out of spring training. Before having any in game time where they're meeting up with anybody, so it was a little rough. All of them looked strong. I mean, he had six strikeouts and two hits over the six innings he was in. He keeps going like that. You never know what Pittsburgh may be calling up there shortly. But I think that the Indians this year are going to do really well with pitching. They lost some offense last year. I mean, Brock Holt, who came up through the system, he came up batting 400 with Indianapolis before they called him up to Pittsburgh. Got traded this year to Boston, so he actually started tonight for the Boston White Sox, and I know that's one bat the Indians are really going to miss because towards the end of the season, Brock Holt was one of those guys who really put things on. But Oliver looked pretty good coming into the night, and he had some confidence to him on the mound, and it seemed to hold his own the whole time he was up there.
And Brian, I know you're out there at Victory Field, and the Tribe is going against the Columbus Clippers. Now we know that the Clippers always have kind of been a thorn in the side of the Indianapolis Indians. Talk with us a little bit about the other side of the plate there, the Columbus Clippers.
Well, the Clippers themselves don't have a lot of luck in Indianapolis, especially on opening night. I know they're 3-for-6 over the last couple of years. In fact, in the first game of the series, too, they're 2-1 right now going into it. Columbus looks like they're just about as strong as last year. They've got some good carryovers that they seem to be doing well with, and I think they're going to be one of these teams that will be hanging around going into after the All-Star break.
Let's take a quick look at the National League, and then we want to jump right into the Cincinnati Reds. which you're on deck for as well. The bottom of the seventh as well, Paul Tuckett against Scranton. Talk with us a little bit about Paul Tuckett and Scranton across the International League. Obviously, Paul Tuckett makes some appearances here at Victory Field as well. So talk with us a little bit about what you know as far as the International League and some of the teams are going on. And we talk about Paul Tuckett and Scranton. Paul Tuckett, talk with us a little bit about them.
Well, I know that there was a lot of turmoil in Boston last year with what was going on, and a lot of trade deals there. Radash Beckett had sent him out towards Los Angeles, and Crawford was out that way too. And part of that trade also included bringing Brock Holt from the farm team over, especially into the Pawtucket White Sox, but the Red Sox. But Pawtucket's gone young. Their farm team in Boston has really now has this influx of youth coming into it. I mean, Boston for a long time was holding on to some older players, trying to count on the consistency of the bat. But Paul Target's one of your teams that's going to be really exciting to watch because of what they've got coming up through the division now, especially with players that can hit the ball coming into it. Their offense is going to be pretty powerful. And I see that Paul Target's going to be one of those teams that's going to be challenging Indianapolis as they're trying to defend their international crown. So.
Well, we look around the International League a little bit more. And a great season the Indianapolis Indians had in the International League last year. They could have a repeat season. And one of the things that maybe a lot of people don't know, since we're a national all over the United States right now, it might be hard to believe, but last week we had several feet of snow. We will say feet here in Indianapolis. It was several inches. Maybe we'll just say it was less than a foot, but it seemed like a mountain of snow. So the groundskeepers had a lot of work to do. And I know they certainly given them a lot of fertilizers on the ground crews. And obviously on the Pittsburgh Pirates staff, they get top training. And how they put it together in the fall, a lot of times it's how it wakes up in the spring, and they just basically had to clear off the snow. How are the field conditions out there tonight?
Oh, the field looked beautiful tonight coming into this. Even the outfield grass for a lot of the fans lay out there in the outfield to catch the obviously home run balls on the outs looked really good. The grounds were up to par, ready to go. Indianapolis won a groundskeeper again. One groundskeeper of the year in the international the minor league system because of how well they keep this field, and just hearing some banter back and forth, especially as things were warming up tonight, talking about how all that snow was actually really good for the grass and what they had laid down that starter fertilizer going into the season. So it looked really the grass was perfect. I mean, this was a perfect night for baseball. Yeah, it was a little chilly out there, but for a lot of people, this was a beautiful night for baseball with not a cloud in the sky and just perfect conditions.
Well, we have a couple finals out there in the International League scoreboard as we look around the International League scoreboard final. Rochester Red Wings fall to Buffalo 7-12. And a couple other teams that Indianapolis Indians are very familiar with, to Toledo Mud Hens and the Louisville Bats. Louisville squeaks one out, 3-4 out there as well. Now, we look at the Louisville Bats. They make a lot of appearance here in Indianapolis, just right down the road. Talk with us a little bit about the Toledo Mud Hens and the Louisville Bats this year in the International League.
Well, I know that Louisville has really strengthened their connections with Cincinnati, and Cincinnati, too, with some of the power they've got coming through, especially now with Derek Robinson being on the DL, especially probably going into the All-Star break. We're going to see Derek Robinson coming up through the Louisville Bats, so I can imagine we're going to see Derek Robinson coming through Indy. Louisville, too, is one of these teams that has been nursing Cincinnati really well. They're getting ready to make another strong appearance coming into this. The park down Louisville is absolutely gorgeous as well, right there off the river, and it's one of those that I would highly recommend to take in if you're down there in Louisville.
Well, we're talking to Brian Jensen, a hot corner contributor out there at Victory Field, talking with us a little bit about some minor league baseball and the International League as well. This is Hot Corner, guys. Welcome to night number one. Our season opens up opening night for us as well, but it's opening night throughout the Major League Baseball. And one of what we're going to do here on the Hot Corner, corner. We're going to take your calls. We're gonna talk to guests from time to time. And really what we'll do is we're going to break down all the action in the MLB and in the farm systems the best that we can and the best that we can fit in an hour. We're going to spend a lot of time. I know we have a lot of listeners on the Indiana Talks Network, so we want to make sure that we cover the regional teams there. The Cardinals, obviously my favorite team personally as a fan, the Chicago Cubs, the Cincinnati Reds. We're going to be talking certainly a lot in the National League, but we'll spend as we go along through the season here talking in the American League. And certainly you can follow us on Twitter at Two Hot Corner. Just real easy to find us on Twitter. You can also find us on, and we're a production of The Balance. So The Balance on Facebook as well, and www.thebalanceonline.com. There'll be a Hot Corner page up there, and certainly you can email me here, tom@thebalanceonline.com, and we'll talk about any team that you want to talk about. A lot of our focuses, and as our audience grows, and we know we have a lot of audience across the United States, but as our audience grows, we'll certainly encompass that. So certainly we don't want to leave out your favorite team, but what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking a lot about baseball, guys, and not necessarily one team, and we're going to kind of maybe be looking at some different angles and some trade rumors, the advice as well. And also, Brian is also our Cincinnati Reds contributor here at the Hot Corner. So talk with us about the Cincinnati Reds this year. What should the Reds do with Ryan Lukwitz's absence? I can't even talk tonight, Brian. I'm going to let you take over there. But what should the Reds do with Ryan Lukwitz's absence?
Well, how bad is it when you actually get an injury on opening night and now you're probably listed to be out through the All-Star break? I mean, he couldn't catch a break this year if he tried, and there were a lot of promises out there for him, but the Reds actually caught a break, and to some degree when Lukwitz went down, they did not bring up a full 40-man roster, so they actually had a roster spot open. That's when they promoted Derek Robinson and brought him up. So it actually didn't cost them anything, and they still have a spot, but they're going to keep Lukwitz right now on the 15-day disabled list. But it looks like, as of some reports today, he's going to be out for a while. And in fact, he probably won't see much baseball until right around the All-Star break. They're saying of how serious his injury is. But this gives the opportunity for some of these younger players that have come up now and have made the team, especially like Chu, their leadoff hitter, to start showing what they've got and how strong this team can be. There are a lot of people that are picking the Reds this year to win that division. I know that, Tom, you're not really thrilled by that, being a Cardinals fan. And myself, being a Brewers fan, I have no love for the Reds, but I cover them if they're there. But I think the Reds are one of these teams that are fun to watch because of the dynamic that they bring. Bronson Arroyo today was just, he was on fire today. He went basically 6 innings of being hit to only 3 runs. And that's a pretty awesome, especially going into it. It's one of those games, too, that gets country. They're one of only three teams that have played 20,000 games. And the 20,000th game was today at the American Club of Cincinnati Reds. And they joined some good company. The only other two teams that have done this have been the Atlanta Braves and the Chicago Cubs, my second least favorite team. But going into it this year, I think you're going to see some good things. I know there's a little talk today that left-handed reliever Sean Marshall's got some tenderness, so he's probably going to see a couple rehab assignments going into things. And you're also going to see some movement around, too, especially now with the Nationals coming into town this weekend. I think that's going to be a sellout going into it for the Great American Ballpark because everyone's expecting the Nationals actually to make the series this year. Well, we win it depending on what comes out of the American League.
Well, I mean, the Nationals are certainly off to a great start. They win today, this afternoon as well. Now, I'm visiting out there in Cincinnati at the Great American Ballpark. It is a great ballpark, I'll admit that. I take a lot of trips down there to the Reds and to the Cardinal games. Don't like to go there. So we're there. Got to see one of my old I still love him, Albert Pujols. And he looked today like Albert Pujols of past. So talk with us a little bit about how Albert Pujols is doing over there in the league. Obviously, we know that's where sluggers go to die and to retire and to go out to pasture so they can be designated hitters and they don't have to field balls anymore. And maybe they've earned the right to do that. We look at Prince Fielder doing very well over there in Detroit doing the same thing. So talk with us a little bit about the other side of the mounds. The Angels obviously fall to the Reds today, 4-5. it was a field of red, if you will, but it was good to see Albert Pujols out there knocking him out of the park again.
Well, it was kind of interesting, too, because Josh Hamilton, who came over this year, too, on a big trade, really didn't do as much as everybody was expecting. And he loves Cincinnati. He's one of his places he talked about before the game again today. That's one of his favorite places to play ball. Cincinnati seemed to be pretty receptive to him. They're going to have a hard time this weekend because their second series is in Texas. So Josh goes back to the place where he basically made a name for himself, where he didn't really have the most grateful entries when he left Arlington. So as far as Albert Pujols, there was talk over the last couple of weeks that Albert should start considering taking up the DH role. And Albert kind of came out, especially today, and made some comment like, I'm too young to DH. I've got plenty of years left for me to play. And last night he kind of showed that maybe he should consider. He took an error off the glove. Joey Votto's first hit of the season last night came off of hit in the bottom of the ninth and ricocheted off his glove and rolled out there to the outfield. And basically the Reds jogged down home and scored, and that's how they won the game in the bottom of the ninth last night. So I think Albert, he's got to find where he's going to fit in. The American League is such a different dynamic, especially for players that have dominated the National League. And I think even last year showed that he struggled. He did turn it on there after a break. But again, it looks like we may have another full strength for Albert Pujols.
Well, you know, and certainly before the Reds play their opening series finale against the Angels today, it was mentioned to manager Dusty Baker by a certain reporter. He asked Dusty's favorite question, I guess. But he said what he said was Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, and Josh Hamilton. Obviously, the dynamic trio out there in Los Angeles Angels really hadn't contributed much yet. And you know, maybe the dreaded Angels offense trio did show some signs of life today, but not really enough to ruin the Reds' technically 5-4 victory to take the first series at Great American Ballpark. So always good to see that happen. So real quickly, give us a recap of the Reds, where they're at this week, and what's going on next week with the Cincinnati Reds.
Well, the big thing is coming this week is the Nationals are coming into town, and these games are going to sell out because everybody wants to see the Nationals, especially with Bryce Harper and everything else in the way. The Nationals have opened up. I mean, the Nationals have already come in making it really clear that they're the team to beat. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes forward. And then they get thrown a little bit. So the Cincinnati Reds are going to have their hands full at least for the next three games with the Nationals and going forward.
Well, and you know, one thing about the Reds, obviously they've got infielder Gerald coming up from the Louisville Bats. He was cleared from waivers and was out right as a AAA, according to the International League transactions. So I think that he's going to be playing on Sunday. Now, that's a great player and a great hitter, if I'm not wrong on that. Is that correct?
That's correct. He's going to be one to watch.
Okay. Well, real quickly, I know you got some things going on there, and I know that you've got to get going back to Victory Field there. So real quickly, any finals, anything that we forgot to ask you or anything like that, sir?
No, I think it's going to be a good year in baseball this year. I think that the excitement's coming back. Where people are getting more settled in now to follow their teams and following the bats especially. I think defense is going to be fun to watch. I think the National League Central is probably the most underrated division in baseball, but I think it's going to turn out to be probably the one that people are going to be the most excited about because some of the other divisions are going to be such a lockout. I mean, when you've got the Nationals there in the East, and then you've got the Dodgers out there in the West, that especially the National League Central is going to be the one to watch. I also think the Wild Card is going to be
right.
The Central South.
Absolutely. Brian Jensen, thanks for joining us on our debut of the Hot Corner right here on the Balance Radio Network and InBlocks and all across the United States. And thanks for bringing this up to speed. What's going on down there in the farm and with the Cincinnati Reds. Have a good rest of the evening out there at Victory Field, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week about the minor league action and about the Cincinnati Reds. All right, buddy. Brian Jensen, always good to have him on board with us, guys. So good that you guys are joining us here on the Balance Radio Network and talks across the United States as well. We're going to take a break real quick, and when we get back, guys, I'll tell you what, we've got more baseball to talk about. We've got Ed Kratz of Calkins Media is standing by in the wings, going to be talking with us a little bit about the Philadelphia Phillies. Obviously, always a tough contender in the National League. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Little roller up along first, behind the back. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it.
Now the pitch. There's a high drive, deep right, center, way back. Might be out of here. It's off the wall. One run is in. Two runs are in. A third man scores. And look at this star. Way back. Might be out of here.
Hey!
He did it again. He did it again. Game is tied. The game is tied. Holy cow.
How about that?
Here it is. There goes the runner. Hey, a line drive off the pitch and gave it over. By Smith to the shortstop Owen, and it's a double play.
One ball, two strikes, a pitch. Hey, Cubs win the division! Cubs win the division! Cubs win the division!
And you're listening to The Hot Corner with your host, El Presidente, Tom Marquis. All right, welcome back to the Hot Corner. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is so good to join you on a Thursday evening, our debut of the Hot Corner right here on Indiana Talks, the Balance Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, and all of our affiliates across the United States. It's good to talk with you from coast to coast, whether or not you're listening to us on iTunes Radio or our various different affiliate stations across the United States. So good that you guys could join us. Now, normally I just want to make a little programming note on Blog Talk Radio. Next week we'll be airing this very same show from 6 to 7 p.m., but on this very same time slot on Inbox, which will be from 9 to 10 p.m., but that is how that runs. And so if you miss it at 6 o'clock, you can catch it again here on Indiana Talks at 9 o'clock as well. Well, I believe now we have Mr. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media. Usually calls in on the Balance side and talks some Philadelphia Eagles with us. He's the beat writer for the Eagles. But, hey, the NFL's in the offseason, so he's covering another team out there in Philadelphia. Maybe you've heard about them, the Philadelphia Phillies. Mr. Ed Kratz, Welcome to the Hot Corner, sir.
Hey, what's Tom? Great intro there. Yeah, but you know, I think you said something that wasn't quite right there. That there's never an off season in the NFL. We all know that, right?
I have a T-shirt and that says. I'm sorry, bud. No, I said that I have a T-shirt that actually says there is no off season. So. What's going on there? Absolutely. I apologize. It sounds like we're getting just a little bit late on it, so I do apologize. So talk with us a little bit about what's going on there in Philadelphia. The Phillies, obviously, always a big contender in the National League, and as a Cardinal fan and as a National League Central guy, I don't really like the Phillies. But the Phillies starters are in danger of losing their spots. Talk with us a little bit about what's going on with the Phillies starters.
Well, I'll tell you what, after the first two games of the season when Philadelphia were ready to jump off the Walt Whitman Bridge because the Phillies got off to an 0-2 start and did not look particularly good last night in losing the 9-2 to a pretty pedestrian pitcher in Paul Mahomes. Tonight, there is nothing here in the ninth inning. Lee has really silenced the Braves' bats. And I think Cliff Lee is poised for a big year this year. He didn't get a whole lot of run support last year, pitched tremendously well in a lot of ball games, but didn't get the run support, won just six games. Tonight, they only got him two runs, and he went eight innings and two hits, so he really took matters into his own hands. But I think if they give Cliff Lee some run support, he's going to be just fine. I think Cole Hamels is going to be just fine as the number one starter. He had a rocky season opener, but I think maybe he was a little juiced up because it was his first opening day start. But they're paying him a lot of money, and, you know, he's one of the top left-handers in the game. He's only 28 years old, so I think he'll be fine. And their big question mark, Tom, is with Roy Halladay. He's 36 years old, didn't even make it through the fourth inning last night. Got hit around, gave runs in just three and a third innings. Of course, he struck out nine guys. He got 10 outs, and nine of them came by strikeouts. But if you're giving up runs, that really doesn't matter. He's a question mark. There's no doubt about that. He's 36 years old. He's sort of, I think, reinventing himself a little bit. His fastball has not crossed the 90-mile-an-hour mark a whole lot in the inning. Even last night's start, he only got it over 93 times. So, you know, he's going to have to learn how to pitch a little differently. If his fastball and his cutter is only going to go, you know, 86 to 88 miles an hour, and, you know, whether or not he'll be able to make that adjustment is going to go a long way to determining just how well the Phillies are going to do in the National League East.
Well, certainly, you know, and I don't know. I think here, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but wasn't Roy Halladay assigned to a short-term contract to begin with?
A short-term contract? He's got one more year on a contract after this season. They have him for one more season signed up. So, you know, they'll be paying him. You know, Roy Halladay is a consummate professional, and you know, if I was a betting man, I would bet that he's going to figure out a way to get batters out with his fastball not, you know, topping 90 miles an hour as often as it has in the past. We'll see if he's able to do that. Like I said, I think he'll be able to. I think he's a little frustrated at this point because, maybe he can kind of feel more, you know, mortality setting in, if you will, a little bit. And I think, you know, that's hard for him to come to grips with and to have to say to myself, hey, I have to make those adjustments if I want to be effective. But, you know, because he's a stubborn guy, he's a professional guy, but if he realizes it sooner rather than later, I think he'll have it figured out before this season is over and really help the Phillies. Because if you look a little deeper into their rotation, they have Kyle Kendrick as their number four starter. He's been around 500 since he's been in the league for the last 5 years. And, you know, he's been bounced in and out of the bullpen a lot. And then their fifth starter, someone the Nationals, they signed as a free agent, John Lathander, who's going to occupy that fifth spot. Last year they had Vance Worley as one of the starters in their rotation, but in the offseason they traded Worley to the Minnesota Twins and got back their center fielder this year, a player by the name of Ben Revere. They're batting leadoff so far in these first three games, and Jimmy Rollins, who's their usual leadoff hitter, has been moved to the second slot. Because Revere gets on base and he's able to steal. He scored 40 bases for the Twins last year. So, you know, the Phillies lineup is a little bit, has a different look to it in terms of, you know, speed. They had a little bit more speed at the top of the order, and they might not be the type of team that sort of relies on that two-run homer, that three-run homer that won them a World Series in 2008.
Well, certainly, you know, Roy Halladay's certainly great. I agree with you, and I think he'll find a way to get it done. But instead of giving the Phillies and their fans, I guess, a reason to relax, Halladay gave them reasons to gather around the giant panic button, if you will. I guess if there is one in the heart of Philadelphia. The veteran right-hander's 2013 debut really saw him just struggling a lot. But I guess the bright side of it or the silver lining in the cloud is that 9 out of 10 outs Halladay recorded came by the way of a strikeout. The not-so-bright side, obviously, is the fact that he only got 10 outs.
Right. I mentioned that it's been a struggle for Halladay today, not only in the, you know, in the second game of the season last night, but in spring training really had a difficult time. In fact, one of his starts late in spring training, his final start of spring training, came against a minor league affiliate. I believe it was Toronto's minor leaguers, and he got hit around in that game by a bunch of minor leaguers. So, you know, there's absolutely reason for concern when it comes to Doc Ock, Halladay. But like I said, I think he's just a professional, and I think once he stops flack that maybe, you know, he's not the same pitcher that he once was and comes to grips with who he is becoming, which is more of an off-speed curveball, you know, using some of those off-speed pitches more effectively because his fastball just isn't what it was, he'll be effective. That's what I think will happen. And so you have to kind of grips with it, though. You have to kind of look in the mirror, you know, and say, hey, you know, I'm not the same guy anymore, and, you know, I need to make adjustments. And I can't be stubborn and throw my fastball when it's only getting up there at 88 miles an hour and batters are able to, you know, put it over the fence. So we'll see if he's able to do that.
Well, certainly your Phillies are down there in Hotlanta, if you will. So the Braves are always been kind of a, in my opinion, the team that you just can never discount. And so talk with me about the Atlanta Braves and how difficult is the Phillies. How difficult does the Phillies and the Atlanta play each other? I guess what I'm saying is, do the Phillies prepare for the Braves any differently than what they might say for the Cardinals?
You know, I don't know if, you know, you make adjustments from game to game really in baseball, you know, based on who the pitcher is. And, you know, that's kind of how it's done. I don't think it's really on a team-by-team basis, but, you know, the Braves have done a nice job of bringing in some young players. You know, they lost Chipper Jones, obviously, at third base. That's a big deletion, and they're kind of working a platoon at Curtis Johnson and Juan Francisco. You know, the pitching staff, they've done a good job getting some good young players to fit in around Tim Hudson, who was their opening day starter and is a veteran of, you know, several major league seasons. But Chris Medlin, who started tonight, you know, the Braves had won 23 straight games when he started. Now, he didn't get all those wins. He was 10-1 last year, but he had a tremendous year. Tonight, he only gave up two runs. The Phillies had him on the hook a few times, and he was able to wiggle off of it. But you know, the Braves have done a nice job bringing in some young pieces. Freddie Freeman at first base is a great-looking young power hitter. Jason Hayward in right field, another very power with power. You know, they have some holes just like every other team in the league. You know, hey, Dan Ugla does not play second base very well. Their shortstop as a young kid who's still finding his way, but, you know, the ceiling seems very high for Jarrell Simmons is his name. And, you know, of course, they went out and they got B.J. Upton to play center field, and his brother Dustin Upton is right next to him in left field. And, you know, those would be hitting some homers for him. So, you know, they're a team, everybody's kind of looking at the Nationals as the team in the NL East. And, you know, with that pitching staff, it's hard to say that they aren't. But, you know, the Braves, you know, I wouldn't discount them giving the Nationals a nice run into August and September and really putting pressure on them for the division title. As for the Phillies, you know, to me, they're probably the third best team in the division. And, you know, based on their pitching and, you know, maybe they can stay in the race for a while, but I'm just not sure they're going to have enough offense when it comes down, you know, to August and September to hang in the race.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's the second time tonight on this very same show that we've heard that the Nationals are going to be tough to contend with. We were just talking with Brian Jensen about the Cincinnati Reds. Obviously, the Nationals are getting ready to come in and to play there. The Nationals win today against the Marlins, 6-1 over the Marlins. Now, tomorrow you guys got the Kansas City Royals coming in. And talk with me a little bit about the Royals and what's in the lineup for the Phillies tomorrow against the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, the Phillies are coming home. They just did win this game tonight here in Atlanta, 2-0. Jonathan Papelbon just got a save for Cliff Lee. So Cliff Lee's now 1-0, and the Phillies are coming home 1-2. They play the Royals, who beat the Red Sox earlier today 3-1. And there's a lot of people out there that are counting the Royals as a team that could be a factor in the AL Central because they're a very young team. And, you know, they went out and got a few pieces from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay Rays, not the Buccaneers. But they got, you know, they got a couple pitchers from the Rays. Will Shields came over, so they're a team that's going to be tough this season. And yeah, it's a good home opener for the Phillies. I'm sure it'll be crowded. They're expecting a little rain in Philadelphia in the morning, and the game is at 4:00 p.m. It's supposed to clear up by then, and. Of course, when I think of the Kansas City Royals, I always think of the 1980 matchup between the Phillies and the Royals in the World Series, when the Royals had, you know, George Brett and, you know, Dan Quisenberry, the reliever. You know, may he rest in peace, of course, and died of brain cancer a few years ago. But, you know, I think of that 1980 team and Willie Wilson and Doug McGraw throwing a fastball past Willie Wilson to wrap up the World Series. And that was exciting. So, you know, that's what I always think of when I think of the Royals. You know, I want to see them do well. I've always liked the Kansas City Royals, and I hope this is a good year for them. When they come to Philly, I hope it's not such a good weekend for them. I'd like to see the Phillies, you know, win, and, you know, especially at home. But, you know, it'll be good. You know, it's interleague football this year. Every day in baseball, I have an interleague game. So.
Well, absolutely. So talk with me about Mr. Cliff Lee out down here. How's he shaping up? What does spring training look like, and what can we look for him come very near future?
Well, you know, Cliff Lee didn't have a very good spring training is average. You know, he had an ERA that was over 4 in spring training, but, you know, really those numbers don't mean anything. You know, he had moments where he pitched well, and, you know, his pitches all seemed to still have the movement on him. His fastball up where it needs to be, you know, speed-wise, unlike Roy Halladay's. But Cliff Lee, you know, to me, he's a premier pitcher still. You know, he's 34 years old, I think he is now, maybe 33. But, you know, to me, he's still a premier pitcher. You look at his record last year, 6-9, it's deceiving because the Phillies only averaged a couple runs a game every time he pitched. You know, I remember a game he pitched in San Francisco last year, and you know, he pitched all 10 innings, and he ended up losing 1-0. You know, when the Giants scored a run on him in the 10th inning. So, you know, he needs a run support. And if he gets that, I think he's going to be just fine. He likes to work fast, which he did tonight. It was a cold night in Atlanta, and I'm surprised the Braves didn't do a little bit more stepping out, you know, kind of delaying things. But, you know, I think the Braves may have been a little cold, too, and they were, you know, they just wanted to get there and swing the bat and see what they could do. And if not, they were headed back to the dugout. You know, Cliff Lee thrives in that sort of game because he loves to work so fast. And, you know, he gets the ball, and that's what he did tonight. You know, this game tonight was, you know, played in about two hours and 40 minutes maybe. Quick game, 2-0 game, and he got his first win. And it could be a good springboard to a good season for him. But, again, the Phillies are going to need to get him more than just two runs every time he pitches.
Well, absolutely, and certainly a looking forward to watch. He's certainly one of my favorite pitchers to watch there on the squad and Holiday as well. Not to be confused with my Cardinals Holiday. Everybody gets that confused. But anyway, hey, speaking of the Cardinals now, toward the end of the month, I know that you guys have a series against the Cardinals, so maybe we could do a little friendly bet because I'm a diehard Cardinal guy myself. And you know, you're supposed to be biased here in the media, but I don't. I'm a Cardinal fan, but I love baseball, and I love this time of year. So, Cardinals, Phillies. It's a little bit later on in the month here, the 18th to the 21st, I believe. So we don't really know all the X factors yet, relying around that series yet. A lot can happen between now and then in a game of baseball. But let's mm-hmm. do a little bit of a friendly wager, if you will, sir.
Well, you know, my standard bet is a buck. That's usually, I bet a dollar. That's usually my standard wager on anything that I'm gambling on.
I was hoping maybe you'd send us up an ox of Philly steak cheeses, but we'll go with a dollar too, sir.
I can send you a cheesesteak. I'm not sure how fresh it'll be when it gets there. Maybe a Philly soft pretzel might take better after, you know, the post office takes 3 days to get it, you know, to Indianapolis there.
And one more question about the Phillies. You guys have a little green monster of a mascot. Comes around every now and then. I think he's even made appearances here at our minor league field, Victory Field. The Indians was the AAA affiliate for the Pirates. I know he goes around. And not always right there in Philadelphia, but what is he? Because when I think of the Phillies, I think, okay, from Philly, all right, I get Phillies, but then maybe people might think horses when they think of Phillies. But what's this green monster, and what has he got to do with the when I speak of green monster, I'm not speaking of the Boston Red Sox green monster. I'm actually speaking of the little green mascot that you guys have running around your stadium there. What is he?
Yeah. I'm really not quite sure he's. He's not a little green monster, though. His official name is the Philly Fanatic. He's the Fanatic is what he goes by. And, you know, he was born 20 years ago, and I'm not quite sure, you know, where those roots came from. But he's almost like a Muppet, you know, a life-sized Muppet. He's probably about 6'5" in that outfit that he wears. And, you know, he's funny. You know, he's fun to watch. You know, he'll engage umpires and, you know, in between innings. And he'll get some players to kind of go along with his antics. And he rides in on a little four-wheeler in from the bullpen. And, gets on the dugout in the seventh inning and does some dancing. And yeah, he's really fun. He makes it fun. I know my kids, they love to watch him. You know, I mean, he's very entertaining. So. You know, that's the one thing, the Phillies, they've won, two World Series in 123 years they've been around. And, you know, probably the best thing they've done, in my opinion, is coming up with the idea for the Philly Fanatic.
Well, we enjoy watching the Philly Fanatic. We'll know from now on. We won't even call him a little green monster anymore. All right, Ed. And it's been a pleasure. I know I held you over a little bit longer than what I said, but I appreciate you taking some time to call in from Philadelphia. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media covering the Philadelphia Phillies for us this year on the Hot Corner, and we hope to have you on in the future. We'll certainly have you on as we near closer to that Cardinal series as well. Obviously, being here in the heart of Indianapolis, we have a lot of the National League Central fans, the Reds, the Cubs, and the Cardinals. So whenever you guys are playing some National League Central teams, you can about bet you're going to get an invite from us, sir.
Tom, you know, anytime. I enjoy it. Really have a good time. So thanks. Thanks again. We'll talk with you.
All right, buddy. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media joining in the Hot Corner. So glad that he's, I tell you what, he's a good friend of the Balance, and we always enjoy having him on over there. And by the way, since this is the Balance production, we can go ahead and plug the Balance every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. on the Balance Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio. here on Indiana Talks as well. We'll be live on Indiana Talks every Saturday morning right here at 9 a.m. And we talk everything sports for 2 hours. And we talk about basketball, baseball, the Final Four. And in the first hour, we spent a lot of time talking about racing. So if we didn't talk about what you want to talk about here tonight, make sure you catch us here on Indiana Talks, 9 a.m. Eastern, right here on the Balance Radio Network, Indiana Talks, and our various different affiliates. I tell you what, this has been a great first show. I apologize that maybe we got off to just a little bit of a rough start, but sometimes that happens when you're getting to some adjustments. But I've adjusted. I'm in now. I'm good, guys. The hot corner's here, and I tell you what, we had a blast, fun times. Well, hopefully we'll have a good time, be able to take some calls. Remember to follow us on Twitter, Chew Hot Corner. And, again, follow us online, www.thebalanceonline.com. We're going to have a Hot Corner page up there very soon. Not quite up there yet, but we will have that. It'll talk about everything we've talked about and all your baseball news that you've got going on. You know, I promised you guys in the opening here that we would be doing some rumors and fantasy advice, but, you know, sometimes we can't fit everything in an hour. Well, one of the rumors I did want to talk about here in my notes here, the White Sox added righty Jason Birkin to the AAA roster. That was a tweet that I got from Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. Birkin, 29, tossed 19 two-thirds big league innings in 2012, mostly for the Cubs, but was removed from their 40-man roster back in October for the Orioles AAA club. He posted a 3.5 ERA. So there you go. White Sox now have a 4 years ago Baseball America explaining that Birkin can throw strikes with any of his four pitches. So keep an eye on him, guys. Also, I want to take a look at the Chicago Cubs. I know we have a lot of Cub fans here on Indiana Talks. Some of the things that we wanted to get into, we just didn't really have enough time, was ideas for a new Cubs ballpark in Rosemont. Are you kidding me? Take it away, Wrigley Field. I will have none of it. I'm a big Cardinal fan, mind you, but there's just something special about Wrigley Field, about the big green man in Boston. No new field. I'm just saying that if that's the plan, and we're going to get into that maybe next week, absolutely Wrigley Field should stay Wrigley Field intact completely as it has. Also, Cubs sign outfielder Ryan Sweeney to a minor league deal. Don't have time to get into all of that. We've just got a couple minutes left here, and so wish we had some more time to get into the Cubs. We talked a little about the Cincinnati Reds. Didn't really get into much about the St. Louis Cardinals this weekend. We're going to make that up next. Maybe we've talked about Albert Pujols, and maybe they did benefit without Albert Pujols. And so we certainly want to talk with him. We look at the St. Louis Cardinals, man. I tell you what, I was that guy on the edge of his seat, going to tears almost in the rain. They were playing in the rain, and the Giants took it away from them. And our fire alarm here is going off for some reason. So maybe I'm going to continue going here, but our fire alarm's going off here in the Balance Radio studio. So, hey, what else could go wrong on the first show here? Okay, I think it's just one of those things that happen when you got things going on. So, guys, I think that's going to wrap us up here on Indiana Talks and on the Balance Radio Network, guys. Like I said, we'll get into some talk next week about the Reds, the Cardinals, the Brewers, the Pirates, the Astros, a lot of the National League Central. We'll talk a lot about that, so don't be discouraged. Also, so forth, guys. So that's gonna do it for us. I believe that Indiana Talks is going to leave us now as well, and we're going to be going too. So, guys, make sure you follow us on Twitter, Chew Hot Corner, and on Facebook, The Balance, and find us online, www.thebalanceonline.com. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Go have a beer. Don't drink and drive. It's not cool.